This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Who wants cream? Nobody? Okay, no cream.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You gotta rise above it. Mm-hmm. You gotta harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Whoa, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2. And finally, YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Happy Tuesday, everybody. You can chime in on the YouTube chat, or you can reach the Vancouver 4 text line at 503-864-6326 because they treat you right before, during, and after the sale. You can visit them at vancouver4.com. It's a mail sack Tuesday, a therapy Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
So get those mail sack questions in at the Vancouver 4 text line. Again, 503-864-6326. And we'll get to the mail sack at 8:15. Because we had a 6:30 ticker for those just tuning in, we will not have a ticker at 7:30. That was Max Chadwick, who gave us quite a bit of takes.
He came with the takes today.
His takes, yeah.
There was Shador, number one quarterback. Travis Hunter, number one player in the draft. Not that those are that outlandish, because both those guys would be top 10 picks.
I'd like to talk about him. I brought him up a little bit here and there. I love Travis Hunter. I want to talk about value and what you take when you're at a certain level of the draft. And his take, I don't even know if I disagree with most of what he said, but I want to talk about that a little bit. But we will we'll start the second hour with your Portland Trailblazers.
Yes. Talk about Therapy Tuesday. I need some therapy after that game-winning shot didn't go in.
You can't out-tank the Utah Jazz.
No, they tried. They gave it an effort. The Jazz covered. They covered the number, plus 4.5, baby. But
Keontae George just couldn't miss a three
until
the very end.
Not quite enough, unfortunately.
You know, veteran-led performance.
Gotta love those. Gotta love those this time of year when Jeremy Grant and Anthony Simons team up for 30-plus points in the first half that build a double-digit lead, and Shaedon Sharpe plays 18 minutes. Gotta love those. Love those nights. Those are my favorite, especially this time of year. Oh, love them. Love every second of them.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chauncey doesn't like him.
I mean, your
minutes, and yes, he's not getting minutes.
He's not. He had a really bad run in the first half. He had a good run in the third quarter. He's playing less than 20 minutes a night. He's essentially Delano Banton in their mind.
What do you mean he had a bad run in the first half? He plays 8 minutes, and if he looks anything lazy, he doesn't play again.
No, he's out. He gets one shift in the first half.
6 minutes, and then, you're not playing the rest of the
half. He was a minus 24 in 18 minutes.
He was a minus 24 in 18 minutes.
Not
yes, he
good.
Was. He's not. I'm not advocating that he's good.
What's your argument there? Don't play the seventh pick that you took 3 years ago?
I don't know.
You don't know if you play him when you're 25 and 33?
Would you rather him get 38 minutes a night or Jeremy Grant at this point?
True. You're just going to let him expose him out there and let him keep getting beat, and then...
I mean, I'm fine with that. I just figure out what you need to have. And if this is... Like, I brought this up for 2 weeks. If it truly is that bad, you have to trade him.
I don't
think... And I'm going to continue to argue that.
Yeah, they're not going to do that, though.
That's because they'd never do the right thing, but I will continue to argue that. Because the longer you let this thing drag out, if you're telling me that you cannot get through to him, that there's zero effort, that there's zero coaching, there's zero messaging, and it's going to be this ugly, where is that stock going to be in a year? There is at least a little
probably
bit.
Probably a new coach, so I don't know.
Is there going to be a new coach?
Yeah, I think there will be.
Okay, you sure about that?
No.
Okay, just asking that question too.
You sure about that?
Because I'm just asking questions out loud at this point. I digress. If this is the direction that it's going, there's at least a little bit of value in saying 2 years ago this guy was a top 10 pick and a team out there saying we feel like we can get the best out of him. I've made this point many times on the show. We as Blazer fans have sold ourselves how many times on, well, the guy was a former lottery pick. Guy was a top 10. Well, we're bringing him in, but he was a top 10. We've done that as a fan base and as an organization. We've had a general manager sit up, mostly Neil O'Shea, who would say, well, you know, this guy was a lottery pick. Scott,
we would get a Shaden Sharpe.
Exactly.
Like,
so I'm saying there was a little bit of value there.
Or Nas Little. Hey, we took him because
this could have been a lottery pick.
Projected as a lottery
pick. This guy could have been a lottery pick. Mario Hezonja was a lottery pick, and I got really excited watching him play preseason basketball.
I do remember those sell jobs.
Yes, those were sell jobs. So,
I kind of miss that sometimes from our general manager.
You miss that guy?
I don't miss him, but I miss like the, hey, man, this guy, he was something. It's like, yeah, Zach and the other
Collins.
Team didn't want him.
It's my biggest frustration. The winning stuff, whatever. I've given up hope in that regard, although last night, damn it, the Jazz gave me a glimmer of hope when they couldn't miss a three in the final minute of the game, and you're my God, are they really going to win this game?
That was a good Jazz performance.
That
usually
was.
That Blazer win ends up being 12.
Yes, it does. So. And the Jazz gave you a little bit of a buzzsaw there at the end. I continue to question what the overall... I'm not advocating that he's playing well. I'm not saying that he's engaged. I'm not saying that he plays his ass off every
Certain.
Single night.
He may be a bad pick.
It's just a general question of this guy was the 7th overall pick in the draft. He's in his third year in the NBA.
This was Joe's first pick, right?
Yes.
I think it was.
This was the first pick we were going to trade, you know, and then didn't trade the pick because Shaden Sharpe, if he was in the next draft, would have been a top 3 pick.
This was the OG Ananobi
this was
potential
the OG
trade
Ananobi that
draft
we're gonna,
pick.
This is
right.
when we were going to begin to go all in that we didn't go all in. That was the start. That was the Shaden Sharpe pick. And I'm just questioning what the long-term, like, if nothing is going to get through to him, what is the long-term plan, and can anything get through to him?
Well, I certainly understand. I guess I understand from the Chauncey angle of...
He wants to have another head coaching job. I get what Chauncey's doing.
I think there's two schools of thought on this. Now, clearly the franchise is just letting Chauncey do what Chauncey wants to do. If that weren't the case...
We would be full-on tanking right now.
Yeah, I think that's...
Jeremy Grant would have rolled an ankle in practice, and Anthony Simons would come down with pneumonia.
So to at least be fair to Joe Cronin, who did his trade deadline press conference after we made no moves, he said it wouldn't be fair to tell the guys not to try to go win and make the play-in.
And he has stayed, could be firm on that.
It's just a couple games, but so far he has stood firm on that. What's abundantly clear is Chauncey, now he would probably disagree with me saying this way, and I would understand why he would have any problem with it. But as a player, he clearly is not liking Shaden Sharpe.
No.
Now, does he think Shaden has potential and Shaden could mature and grow and be great? He'd probably say yeah to all of that. But you speak with your minutes, and 37, 25, 36, 38, 36, 30. That was 6 players on the Portland Trail Blazers, their minute distribution. Jabari played 14, and Shaden only had 4 more minutes than Jabari Walker.
Yes.
Who is a second-round project that I think is a free agent this summer, and I don't even know if he'll be back.
Likely won't be back.
So when you're talking about the 7th pick in the draft, what's clear is the coach, he's in a bit of the coach doghouse, but the franchise isn't, there's no changing there. So they're kind of in, I'm going to assume, in lockstep on this topic, and I just kind of have to wonder if this is what it's going to be the final 20-whatever games. What are they at right now? They're at 58? So what is that? The final
24
games? If this is what the final 24 games are, I venture to kind of wonder aloud. I don't think they're going to do it. I start to kind of go to your territory of like, well, if you're if you don't believe in him, then
what are we holding on for then?
Throw him in as like a enticing move. Because here's the other thing.
Sell it. Hey, this guy's a top. He's just not quite fitting our culture. We got too many guards. Like, you can sell this to another team.
He very well could not be what we thought he would. Baby Kobe, it might be over for that.
R.I.P. Baby Kobe. Are we burying Baby Kobe today?
I didn't say that. Okay. Every time I have any criticism,
Danny loves to go,
but not Baby Kobe. I'm like, this doesn't mean I've given up. But
here comes the text from Danny Meringue. Not going to be happy. Baby Kobe.
But here is my point. I have gotten to, I told you guys this yesterday, because they're winning these games, you're putting yourself in the 9, 10, 11, 12 area of potential lottery city. Now, maybe you jump way higher. You jump to the top five, the top three. And if that's the case, some of this changes. But if you fall where you're projected to be exactly at right now, I'm reading some of these pre-draft mocks, and I'm reading about these players, and some of them I'm watching, and I'm just like, I don't know if that really changes your future. And I'm almost wondering, and I may have said this a couple of weeks ago, but I think it needs to be echoed again. They're at 25. I think they're going to beat the Wizards.
The Wizards are tanking. They're openly tanking, just like the Jazz.
They might be the Nets. So there's two more wins. Now you're 27 if you do that. And you know what I mean? Like, if you get to 30 to 31 wins and you put yourself at that 12 in the play-in, but like 10, 11 in the total standings, I think it's totally fair. As me and Swag were texting last night in our group chat,
do you
just look around and you say, what team is going to kind of reset, blow it up? You think I'm joking, but you have Denny.
I know.
You have Tamani. You've got DA, who you're not going to be able to move. I don't think you're going to be able to move Jeremy's contract.
Now we go all in.
You've got Scoot growing. I'm just saying, like, do you pivot a little bit and say, well, we didn't do the draft thing that we all thought they were going to do.
In a generational draft.
I'm just asking questions out loud that I totally think are reasonable and logical, because I don't know what good value you get with the 10th pick in a draft.
Not a lot.
The history of that does not suggest you're going to get a franchise cornerstone.
No.
Especially when you read every mock that says the top eight of these guys, the top seven, are the guys.
Yes.
After that, that guy could be it.
Crapshoot. Roll the dice. And every pick's a roll of the dice. But even more so outside the top seven.
Con Knipple is not going to be the superstar that Tamani Kamara is waiting for. No. That's a role guy who might be a good player.
Very well could be a good player.
So there's a lot here for a not-so-great team, but a not-so-great team that keeps winning and ruining their lottery odds, but also in some ways building some kind of culture with some of the young players.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you the positive for me last night. Donovan Klingon is still alive after playing 25 minutes. Love watching him play. He was not a lot offensively. That's fine. Yeah, I'm
second
not expecting
highest,
that.
Plus minus.
He was terrific on the defensive end. He grabbed 13 rebounds. He had a couple offensive boards. I love watching Donovan Klingon play. And Scoot Henderson, for all the talk about benching and how is he going to handle that role? I'm still incredibly frustrated that the guy who was a generational talent in his second year in the NBA, you're making come off the bench, but he has handled that role really well, and he continues
to play.
He had a really nice game last night. I know there was a decent amount of turnovers and some turnover-worthy plays and all that. He's still young. He's 20 years old, and that's why you want him to play, so he can figure that stuff out. So credit to Scoot for the way that he's handled this new role and the way that he's continuing to play. And last night's game, I think, included something that I've never seen before, and that was the one of Shaedon Sharpe's makes being basically an air ball that popped up through the hoop.
Oh, I may have missed
that. Did you miss that?
I may have missed that.
Yeah, I saw that.
He threw up like a little floater in the lane, came up short.
And it bounced
deflected.
Up.
It hit off somebody's head,
and
went up through the hoop, and then back down through the hoop, and the officials had to be like, well,
that didn't count.
No,
it may. It was counted.
No, it wasn't. That was a violation.
Oh, it was a violation?
If it goes under the hoop.
Oh, I thought it counted.
No. If it goes under the hoop and comes down, that doesn't count.
It's a whistle and a violation.
It comes under the hoop.
It comes up from underneath the hoop and then back down through the hoop. Why not count that?
It's a violation.
That doesn't count.
It should count. It went through the
reverse basketball.
It should count. Why not? It's even more creative.
You thought that counted?
I thought it counted.
I missed it. So
I missed it live. I just saw it on social media, and I was like, dude, did that count? Are we counting that right now?
No, I saw it live.
This is dumb. Why didn't we count that? This is stupid.
Bad take, Dirt.
I think this is a good take. That should count.
Went deep into the rule book for that one.
That's too circusy. You could just do reverse layups.
Like, who would throw the ball from underneath the hoop thinking it would go back in?
You don't need to throw it very hard to go up through the hoop to get it to come back
down.
Clear
the rim, and it came back down through.
It's a little circusy.
It should count.
I might be a little off here.
If they make an all-in move this summer, you need to check my sanity.
So you'd rather them just sit at 10 and draft 10th?
I mean, I'd
if that were to happen. Yeah. Because we need to start. I know people say, oh, you're talking, maybe they get sick. Okay, if they get a better pick,
then that's fine.
We'll pivot
then
to that.
Great. If they,
but
you
if they
know,
sit where they're sitting, which history says they largely do, the Atlanta Hawks are not the norm. There's a lot of, hey, team with the worst record, even though there's three now with the same percentages, say that they're probably going to get the number 1-2 pick. The Hawks are not the norm. So if they're at like 10, I don't think it's outlandish. I really don't, because I don't think you're going to get a superstar at 10.
I don't think you're wrong, but it would make me absolutely livid, because you're not going to get a superstar in the trade. So when are you going to get the guy that you're going to build the team around?
I'm just saying, like, you've already kind of put yourself behind the eight ball a little
bit. Yeah, which is why I've been livid all season long, and I will continue to be livid into the offseason, because there's no long-term plan.
The funny thing would be,
which is why I'm frustrated. There is one rule in the NBA.
Well,
one rule.
That's not true.
You have to have a star to win.
Oh.
No, don't, you have to.
The Nuggets got to a West Finals when they traded Melo, didn't they?
Yeah. How did they go? How'd that West Finals go?
Well, it didn't go in the
exactly. Similar. Okay. So
Pistons won a title.
Who's, how are you going to get the guy? When do you find the guy? Who are you building the team around?
We
who's your star?
About history. It's 33.
Okay.
Number 33.
The guy who had, let me check my note, 8 points last night.
The funny thing about all of this is you could certainly make an argument on the other side that says, like, hey, vibes are good, culture's good. You're building, you're finally building something. You don't just suck.
That's fine. You're building something. You're not going to go anywhere until you get a star.
Well, but the funny part was you're building culture for a coach who may not be here.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think, which you're trending in the direction of him being here. I think if they're continuing on this trend, they're going to bring him back next year.
You think most fans would want him back?
No, I don't. But I think he would be back.
I think he's swayed people. Put a poll question up on that. Something that Max Chadwick said.
That bucket should have counted. This is stupid.
It's a bad
basketball thing. Sucks.
Wow, come on, man.
Let's talk hockey, damn it.
It's something Max Chadwick said about the NFL draft. I want to get to that next on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
got some good news for the Pac-12. We'll get to it at the bottom of the hour. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday. So get those Mail Sack questions in at the Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. Poll question is up. Do you want Chauncey Billups back for another year? Yes or no?
Very simple.
He's
to the
building
point.
Culture.
He's building culture.
He finally did it.
He did it. We have culture.
I was told he's not a good coach because they were getting blown out, but I was also told we don't really know because the roster's not good, and then they started winning, but now he's a good coach because the both sides have not looked good in this. And I've been on both sides, actually, so, you know, we're all sitting in the middle, I think. Couple thoughts from earlier conversation about getting old.
Yeah.
One listener said, 38 years old, what the hell? You are not even close to old. I understand there's a perspective there, but...
There's a graph of aging, and we're on the early set of that graph. I get it. But we're aging. We're getting there.
And then somebody else says, wait till you hit 50. Those nose hairs get so long you can braid them.
That actually be pretty cool.
Turning 50, it's not only about trusting a fart.
I mean, I've been there for 10 years, to be honest.
Yeah,
you know.
Well... Yesterday was terrible for me.
One of those on the way in this morning.
We'll get to the Pac-12 stuff. As one person on YouTube's saying, the solution to all our problems in Portland is to draft Nate Biddle.
I mean, I think that would fix things.
Nate Biddle,
guy's a stud. What are you laughing about over there?
Big Ten player of the week.
Exactly.
Nate Biddle, right.
How many other Big Ten players of the week do we have on this roster? Huh, Beaver Boy.
We have the WCC player of the week. That didn't go how you wanted it, did you? Now we're eating you.
You guys have the WCC Player of the Week?
Michael Ratai.
Ah, was it a pilot after their weekend and their win over the Beavers?
That was more than a week ago.
Oh, okay, just checking.
No, Max got it after his 43.
I have long been...
Who do they play? Pacific Palisades?
We're moving on. I've long been a big fan of Travis Hunter. I thought him choosing to go to Jackson State out of high school was... It's one of the crazier things we've ever seen. We never have seen the number one player in a class choose to go to a Jackson State.
It was one of the most shocking signing day announcements we've ever seen in college
historical
football.
Black college getting the number one player in a recruiting class. That's never happened. And so
it was kind of the beginning of the downfall of Florida State. I know that they had a good year that following year, but that was like he was locked into Florida State forever.
Was.
And on signing day, it was like, wait, what?
Big Deion.
Not going to Florida State? Wow.
So then he goes with Deion to Colorado. Him and Shador and Deion and a bunch of other guys helped take Colorado from a one-win team. To what they win? Was it 9 in the regular season?
I think it was 9. I believe that sounds about right.
3 times. And they didn't really do much in the bowl game. Anyways, they are now going into the draft. Travis Hunter is regarded as one of, if not the best player in this draft. And I, from a skill and football standpoint, I don't doubt that. I feel weird going on the opposite side of this because I am rooting for him and I like him so much as a player. But you can kind of miss me with this playing both sides in the NFL the way he does in college stuff. And
yeah.
I just, maybe I'm alone here. I have a top 5 pick. I don't know why I would want to take a cornerback. Again, he is great. By all measure, he is one of the best football tracking corners to maybe ever exist. There was an article on The Athletic about him, and they asked multiple players. There's people saying he's already better than Derek Stingley, who's been in the NFL for a couple years now. And I'm just like, maybe he is going to be a great player. But we just watched a great NFL cornerback get absolutely shredded in the Super Bowl because, oh, by the way, the defensive line's not getting any pressure. Trent McDuffie, a good friend of this program, a former Husky, is highly regarded as a cornerback in that league. Didn't matter at all in the Super Bowl. Just getting toasted by the Eagles. And I'm just like, yeah, when the defensive line doesn't apply pressure, it almost doesn't matter. Hunter's probably going to be a great player. And so I don't want this to sound like I don't think he's going to be. I don't know, maybe my views on this is wrong, Dirt. I wouldn't want my team, if they're in the top 5, taking him.
I agree with you. We debated yesterday the Cam Ward stuff and what should Tennessee do at number 1. The main argument that I'm trying to make is there are just positions that I would value over a roll the dice at quarterback. And that's not that these other guys aren't roll the dice. We've seen edge rushers go in the top 3 that have totally flamed out, that haven't done anything.
Yeah.
That certainly has happened. But I feel like I can make a stronger argument in my head of like, this guy's going to turn into something that's a true difference maker. And if it's at a position of need or a position of priority, I'm going to lean taking that over the roll of the dice quarterback. Now, where that argument changes for me is if you didn't have a dominant edge rusher or a dominant offensive tackle, and then debating that with the quarterback. And that's the way that I feel about corners as well. Travis Hunter, I think, can be a terrific NFL player. We've seen a lot of corners go in the top 10 that have had high impact early starts to their NFL career. But I think it's a question of, is that really a pick you want to be making in the top five? Like, this is the debate we had last year with the Giants. Like, I made the opposite argument, and you made the opposite argument last year on the Giants, because they were deciding between a wide receiver or the roll of the dice at quarterback. And my argument was, Malik Nabers could be great.
And he,
he was. He had an unbelievable year. Right. But you're not going to do anything unless you have a quarterback. So I wouldn't have made that argument if, like, hey, this edge rusher that's on the board can come in and change games immediately for you, or this offensive tackle, you're going to plug and play for 12 years and you're going to love the pick. I wouldn't have made that argument. That's the way that I feel about corners. And I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that he's going to be a dynamic two-way player. Like, Max Chadwick is a great college football voice. He follows his stuff, and he's awesome at PFF. The idea that we're selling drafting Travis Hunter in the top 10 as a new weapon for one of the quarterbacks that's going here, like, he brought up New England. New England, I believe, has the fourth pick in the draft, and he said he could be a weapon for Drake May. What?
He's going in as
he's going to play a couple of offensive snaps, no doubt. I'm not doubting that, but, like, this idea he's going to be a full-time wide receiver or a key weapon, you're missing me with that.
He got hurt, by the way, his first year at Colorado, so that should be noted. Second year I think he got a little banged up and may have missed a game or two. I'll go back and see if I'm wrong on that. But my thing is, like, doing that in the NFL, I don't expect it to be the same level. I just don't know if I'm putting a lot of stock in that, you know, like, hey, you just played lockdown cornerback defense, now go out there and run deep routes. Bro, it's just such a different level.
Yep.
New England's a good one. And Chadwick, by the way, is not alone in this take.
No.
Almost every pundit is saying the two-way stuff. Darius Slayton got interviewed, and he basically was like, I hope he focuses on cornerback, because he's elite at that, and you cannot be an elite cornerback and tell me you're going to be a top-tier wide. It's just not possible.
No, he played, by the way, all 12 games this year. He did not miss a game. He missed that chunk, remember that dirty hit from Colorado State early in the year?
That
missed,
was
like,
what
a
was.
Month. That was in his first year at Colorado.
Okay, thank you. New England is a good team for this example, because he very well is tracking to go top five because of his talent. And, I totally get it. But if I'm a New England fan, do I want elite cornerback, or do I want something protecting Drake May? Or just a pure wide receiver? And I think that's the tough thing these teams have to figure out, because if I'm a Patriot fan, I don't think I just don't know if I want them going that direction. And look, Stingley's a good one here. He's a great young cornerback. If I gave you Davis Mills and not CJ Stroud, or I gave you Nick Mullins.
Yeah. What's the debate?
Is Stingley then winning the Texans the division and going to the playoff? Like, I hate saying that.
Patrick Surtain has been this early in his career, who was, I believe, a top 10 pick, if I'm not mistaken, or right around the number 10 overall pick. He's been outstanding, and it didn't mean much for Denver until they found a quarterback in the draft.
And maybe the argument for New England is, like, they've got Drake May, and that very well could be it. And maybe they address everything else, and this age is... I hear it, and I think he's great. There's something about it. I'm just like, I don't know if I don't even want my team doing it. I'd rather them address the offensive line, the edge.
Yeah, back end top 10 or early, 10, 11 or 12, no problem with it whatsoever. But you're talking top 3 or top 4 pick. I'm with you 100% on this one. I'm out on that.
I think he's going to go top 5, though.
I think he will go top 5.
A lot
five.
Of the mocks have him top 5.
I think that he will.
I know we're always wrong, too, so this is probably going to age poorly. But it's the take.
This is what I love about NFL draft season,
emotion.
Man. Give takes, dude. I love it. We're all good. I mean, we all hit it like a 33% clip anyways.
These teams don't even know what they're doing.
Fire away from the hip, man.
Hey, good news for the Pac-12. We'll get to that coming up next. And we got the mail sack at 8:15 to get to. We got a lot to get to.
Have we found our new roof daddy? We'll get to that coming up in a bit.
Get him to March.
We also have a complaining coach.
Mm.
And I'm sick and tired of complaining, and I want to make fun of this guy together.
Is he rightfully complaining?
No, he is not rightfully complaining.
Really?
I don't think he's rightfully complaining. I think he's being a little bitch, to be honest with you. So we're going to get to that coming up in a bit.
The poll question, sorry to interrupt you there. Poll question is up. If your team has or had a top 5 pick in the NFL draft, would you want them to draft Travis Hunter? Yes
Boom
or no?
Goes the dynamite. Live golf's back. All right. I just forgot about that one because it's on the page of the sound I'm going to play in this segment. I wanted to play it there because I forgot. You guys are still in the Pac-12, and you're trying to keep that conference live and breathing. And we're
we are the Pac-12.
That's true. Well, you're the Pac-2.
You scaredly ran away to the Big Ten and said, please take us for less money. And we were like, we'll carry the mantle.
We'll do this.
So you come crawling back.
We'll do this on our own. Pac-2 champs. My apologies. I will address you appropriately. You are the Pac-2 champs.
I haven't seen him use his mug yet. Got him a Christmas gift that says conference champs. Haven't seen it used once.
Oh, I have it at home.
Why is it not a work one?
Huh? Because I have my work one.
We had a listener send us these little dolls that look like us. You just leave it over there. You don't take that home. That was a gift.
Out of context, that could have been really confusing. Somebody asking, too, am I complaining about complaining? I am complaining about complaining. So this came out, I think this was over the weekend, and this was down at San Diego State, your new brethren, your soon-to-be brethren, in the Pac 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever it ends up being.
It's a nice reminder because I've already forgotten all the teams in the conference.
Yeah. So you got Oregon State, Washington State.
You don't need to go through it.
San Diego State.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Fresno State.
Yes.
Boise. Colorado State.
Yeah. Yes.
Boise State.
Yes.
Gonzaga.
Yes.
Well, for basketball.
For basketball.
Utah State.
Utah State. Yeah. Is that it? Did I hit them all?
Fighting Gary
Anderson. That's everybody in right now.
For now. Here is the athletic director at San Diego State, because we're all waiting, and the reports have been coming out like, hey, listen, they're looking at ESPN, Fox, what's TV deal going to look like? And the AD at San Diego State had this to say down at an event in San Diego.
To end of next month, we will have the MOU done for our television deal. So we will know what our TV deal is going to be, who our partners are going to be. I will say this, they're entities that you're familiar with, that you would recognize. We're going to get great exposure. And the really good thing is we're going to get more exposure. It's not just going to be football and men's basketball, but it's going to be all of our sports are going to have the opportunity for this increased exposure. It's going to be increased revenue, which is a big thing for us. So that's really the next big piece. Once we know that, then we can go recruit that eighth football playing member. We need one more football playing member that has all of its sports to meet FBS rules or NCAA FBS rules. And then after that, we'll figure out if we're adding one, two, or three more schools, and whether they're coming in all of their sports. They might be coming in some of their sports.
Now, there might be some trepidation here because at the end and the death of the old Pac-12, I felt like we went through that like, hey, next month we'll hear our TV deal. Oh, yeah, we'll find it. And next month, okay, it's coming right around the corner. Here it comes. Yeah. This summer we're going to find out. Next month. So it's kind of a constant thing. But here is the new Pac-12 athletic director of San Diego State saying that by the end of next month we're going to find out the TV deal. And it will be with partners that you know, a.k.a. you're going to Fox, ESPN, maybe a little CW.
So Look, I think it's going to be the most obvious. This is going to be a group of networks.
Yes.
ESPN clearly wants the After Dark stuff. I think he's highlighting for the other sports ESPN Plus. So like women's volleyball with Boise State versus Oregon State.
It's great.
ESPN Plus.
Throw it on there.
You're probably going to have the CW still involved, as you should, because they're just on a ton of TVs.
And the numbers for Oregon State and Washington State on the CW were really strong this year.
And I would imagine Fox dabbles in this a little bit as well. Here's what this is the most concerning thing, or not concerning, but a thing I'm most curious about. Because I'm not going to be shocked by the network distribution and how that's going to shake up. So the Mountain West, for example, because he was in the Mountain West, so he's talking about revenue here. Each member of the Mountain West was making about $5 million. Boise was the standout. They got the most because they're Boise. They made 7.9. What is the increase? Because he could be saying an increase, but for a San Diego State, $3 million is a nice increase.
$10 million a year is really nice for San Diego State.
So doubling up would be amazing. And
would
so
be
like
awesome.
Many, I think, fans of Oregon State that I see on social media with our show page, there's a lot of like, I don't know, I'd say hope as much as it is. It feels like almost confidence. I think they're going to get like 15 to 14 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so curious what this is because I don't think it's going to be that high. But also, maybe they end up being right when all said and done between Fox and ESPN and a CW. That's the thing that matters the most because if you get to that number or you're close to it, you're going to be allotted certain things with your boosting and fundraising to maybe be able to keep up and give yourself the best possible chance to get your one playoff spot a year
the way that it's going to go in the new model, because we know Notre Dame largely is going to be getting one of those other spots.
Yeah, I mean, I think this conference will be... Look, the playoff format will remain the same. It'll change in terms of automatic qualifiers from other conferences. The idea of a group of five team having a bit like that, that to me will never change in this format. And I've maintained that now for a long time. I think they want to make sure to keep that alive.
But it's only the one slot you're fighting
for. It's only one
for.
Slot. Yeah. And I would argue that this conference will get it 75% of the time.
You could Tulane and Memphis and all of them don't move over.
Sure.
I don't know what that percentage is, but yeah, I'd probably lean a little more the Pac-12.
To me, this is the strongest. This will end up being the strongest of the group of five football conferences. And maybe I end up being wrong on that, but I think you have two teams with Power Five histories. You have Boise State, who has been one of the better programs in college football now for 25, 30 years.
Yeah, long time. The entire sport, really, the way they run.
Fresno State has had a lot of years where they've been really good. So, Colorado State's investing money. They just built a new stadium. So there's a lot of things to like about this, and I think the majority of the time it will go to this conference. I think you hit on a network that is a little bit of a sleeper here, and to me that's CBS. Remember, CBS lost the SEC, which is devastating for them. They then got in bed with the Big Ten, but they don't have the first Big Ten pick every single weekend. So they kind of get that third fiddle game where they're playing their old CBS music and it's Brad Nessler. And you're like, okay, it's Oregon and Illinois. All right. It's a top 25 matchup technically, but it's not Alabama versus LSU that they were used to. And CBS also has a broadcasting partnership with the Mountain West. And what is the Mountain West losing? The biggest football program in their conference, which is Boise State. So
yeah,
CBS,
that's a good one.
CBS Sports Network and CBS games, to me, there's an angle there for them.
Maybe that's it instead of Fox.
And it very well could be. But I also think there's an avenue for Fox and ESPN. The question that I would ask is, let's go on the hypothetical side of things here, the positive hypothetical of you get close to $15 million a year for your universities. That's $14 to $15 million range. Are you okay as a fan trading that off with the inventory that you will likely be asked to fill?
Yeah, because the late kicks.
I brought this up many times here in the year last year, and when it dawned on me, this whole thing has been complicated. I'm excited for my team. I'm sad for the Pac-12. It's just a very weird space to be in. The thing that I lamented the most, that I missed the most, was the fact that there were a lot of Saturdays where I'm sitting around at 7:45, and I'm like, dude, click, 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 click. There's nothing on TV.
We had opposite takes on that.
Because you want to go to bed, and I'm just like, dude, it's the end of the day.
I want to watch a movie with my family.
I totally get it. But you don't have to watch, it's like, Colorado State versus Fresno State. You don't got to watch that game if you don't want to, but now you might.
Sometimes
have to.
A little swag, and it's like, well, they play Colorado State next week.
Conference affiliations as well, and conference standing. Like, are you okay filling that void? Because I imagine that will be a big ask from Fox and a big ask from ESPN to say, we need that nighttime inventory filled.
Yeah.
Is that a trade-off you're willing to take?
I mean, look, God, so much of this is so hypothetical on number stuff. If they're in that, let's call it 13 to 15 range, if that's what this gets, all calculated. One, you don't have a choice.
No, you don't have a choice. I'm just asking, are you happy about, is that a good deal for you?
No.
More night games, but more money.
My kids are 13 and going to be 9. You know what they like to do on Saturday? They like to have a family movie night.
Right, I don't want to watch football at 8 o'clock at night.
Old dad from about, September to December, every Saturday now would be like, oh, probably my team playing.
Yeah, let's watch on the iPad while they watch whatever movie they're watching.
Yeah, but I'm not really watching the movie because I'm probably going to talk more about the football game than, hey, did you see the new Disney movie that came out? They redid Snow White. So there's no complaining there for the trade-off. The trade-off is you make a little bit more than you thought. You level some stuff out financially for yourself, which is great, but you do have to fill those windows that are not always so great. Now, if CBS gets into this, which is a good point by you, then yeah, maybe there's an opportunity with Oregon State, and I know they didn't have a great year, but let's say they get back to being okay to good. You get a little more reward for some of those CBS windows that might be available in the day, afternoon time, and you also got to trade off your late kicks.
Yep.
And that it sucks for fans to go through that.
Where are you at on that one? $14 million a year, but more night kicks. Is that okay for you?
But what's the number that makes you really hate the night kick?
10.
Because we're throwing 14 out. We have no idea. Again, to San
Diego
State,
if you get $10 million a year, I'd say, dude, shove it. I'd rather play 12-30 games on the CW. That's not worth it. And I know $5 million isn't that much, but $5 million is that much.
Okay.
That's a Wayne Tinkle buyout right there, buddy.
That's not going to happen.
Potentially. Where are you at on that one? That's the latest out of San Diego State. Their athletic director saying a media deal will be coming at the end of next month. Let's talk about a team who left that Pac-12 conference. And now their coaches are complaining. What do we make of this? And one coach is doing it the right way. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We'll play the fun game at the top of the hour. What is this team doing? Also, get this guy to March Madness. That's coming up in about 10 minutes, and we'll mail sack it up at 8:15. Get your questions into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326.
I was a little bummed that Channing Frye, local legend, has been stealing my decade-long take now of how people are viewing the NBA and how they're just stuck in nostalgia instead of just like really enjoying a sport.
I don't know, man. I've never heard that take before. I haven't done a show with a guy who's been arguing that for like 9 years.
That's probably something I hate the most in this industry is like little local sports radio Portland guy. Like nobody knows the take. But national guy takes is like, God, what a great, interesting.
National ESPN radio show. We heard this on this podcast. You'll never believe this take. It's like, wait, is that do they think that's the first time anybody's ever argued that? That nostalgia's ruining the NBA?
I feel like it's fairly obvious, but okay.
Yeah, it's been out there for a while. Yeah. We were talking about the Pac-12 and their new deal, what it might look like. And it's interesting. I know Beaver fan will disagree with this. There are two culprits. In terms of schools departing, that are the main reason the conference no longer exists, and they are USC and UCLA.
Yeah, Oregon and Washington.
Yeah, no, sure, why not? Oregon and Washington would have stayed in the conference had UCLA and USC not left, but I digress. Let's
throw some fuel on that fire.
What did the UCLA coach complain about earlier this year? In basketball, that is, Mick Cronin?
Traveling. A lot of travel. Unfair to us.
Yes. Who is the head coach at USC?
What's his nuts? Strong.
Muscle man.
Muscleman.
No good. Muscleman, you get it?
Hey, crunch time. Crunch time.
Muscle
good.
Man, we're flexing. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
That's right.
USC is not having a very good season.
Oh, they're terrible.
They have a good recruiting class, so if you're excited about high school recruiting and college basketball, good for you. They do have a good one coming in next year. They have had a really bad year, and after their latest bad road trip, here comes the old USC head coach saying,
I mean, I think there's a whole bunch of things that factor. Number one, UCLA, Washington, Oregon, USC. We're in the hole 2 to 4 games based on travel. And it's going to be that forever for men's basketball.
Shut up.
So you either got to do it UCLA women and USC women. You got to have far superior talent in order to survive all this.
Paid so much money and I suck.
This is the same trip that Coach Cronin, you know, had his, and unless you're doing it or have done it in the past, which no one has done it unless you've been in the NBA. When you travel 3 time zones and you're out here for 6 days, and we're going to get back right now, we're supposed to stop in Kansas City.
How dare you?
Or Tulsa.
Oh no.
We're going to get back roughly at 3 a.m., then we're going to bus. And then they're going to go to class at 8?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And you're not going to be in your bed even to try to attempt to sleep until 4 a.m. And then you have a class in 4 hours, which means you got to get up, you got to shower, you got to get to class.
Yeah.
So, you know, should a West Coast team be playing a game at 6 o'clock at night?
This is long.
It is.
By the way, Ohio State's in Los Angeles and has been there for 2 days.
I just love listening to the entire complaint.
Several hours before us.
Oh, yeah.
But yet we're the team that has to travel cross country, and then our body clocks have to readjust.
Good Lord, can you shut this guy up already?
That's the end of it.
How much longer does that go on?
It was another 15 seconds. He complains. He continues. The idea as somebody who went to one of these departing universities and saw many of athlete not go to class, the idea that he's trying to argue that his men's basketball players
right
will show up to an 8 a.m. class on Monday is one of the funniest things that I've ever heard. By the way, Oregon, who was in Iowa and Wisconsin this weekend, long travel. They asked Dane Altman after the game. I was looking for the audio. I couldn't find it, but I do have the written quote.
Yeah.
They asked Dane Altman after the game this weekend, like, hey, man, you know, travel, it's kind of wearing on teams. How is it affecting your team? His quote was, We wanted to be in the Big Ten. We asked to be in this league. We're not complaining about travel or complaining about anything. We've made a few trips, and our guys have enjoyed the new atmospheres.
Wow.
There you go.
Where are they at in the standings? Where's USC at in the standings?
Let me go ahead and check there.
Washington is in the very bottom.
Yeah.
Oregon's 8th, and USC might miss the whole conference tournament.
They might. USC is 14-13, 6-10, and there's only four teams behind them in the Big Ten standings.
I really hate to do call-outs on names because, you know, might still be in the area doing God knows what. I went to college at the same time as an Oregon State basketball player named Chris Stevens.
Shout out to Chris Stevens.
He's from like the 06, 07 era.
Yeah, back in the day.
My buddy had a class with him, and he told me the funniest story. He goes, man, I didn't know that not all these guys care so much about studies. And I went, what do you mean? He goes, he showed up 10 minutes late, and he went to the seat that was directly behind a pillar, so you literally could not see the teacher or the projector.
That's how you work right there. That's
and
smart.
And he just looked down the entire time and was just drawing.
Just not paying any.
And then left 5 minutes early, and I went, well, you know, college athletes.
I had a class with Tawan Porter, and I think I showed up five times the entire term, and all the five times I showed up the entire term, he was not there.
I would like to highlight, I'd ask Mr. Muscle Man.
Mr. Muscle Man,
hey,
how do
Eric.
We feel? Hey, Eric, how we feeling?
It's been real awful for you, your USC Trojans and UCLA Bruins to do the new travel. Hey, ladies, how's it going for you with the new, difficult? You hate it?
They doing okay over there? Yeah.
Oh.
They're both top five teams in the country.
Oh, and they're 1-2
But I thought
the
travel, you just can't overcome the travel.
Is Juju Watkins out there complaining for 2.5 minutes about
so much travel?
No, she's just bawling. You're complaining because you're looking for an excuse because you're terrible this year.
Is that fair to complain about that complaining? I can't stand this stuff, dude. Like, this is what you asked for.
Yeah.
You're making, what are they? Oregon's not even getting a full share, and we went 13-0 in football and won the damn conference, and we're better than you in basketball. You're just sucking all this money up. You're making like $80 million this year, and you're complaining?
Well, if you're,
sit down and shut up.
If you're on the record before this was even going down,
he makes like $5 million a year, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, you're chartered flight to New York.
If you were complaining beforehand and saying, I'd rather us figure out how to keep the Pac-12, you know, that sort of thing. Okay, and you're saying, see, this is what I told you would happen. I might listen to you. You're still complaining. Get better players.
We could have just spearheaded the new media deal and not left.
Exactly.
And this all would have been fine.
Well, the coaches didn't have, basketball coaches certainly didn't have any power in that regard.
No. Well, the coaches could have gotten in the AD's ear and said, this is a bad idea. This is going to backfire on us because we're not going to be good enough to overcome our charter flight to Maryland.
$80 million.
Yeah, I mean,
I love it, dude. Yeah. So the two LA schools, man, it's been hard. It's been really hard for them, guys. Can we just have a moment of silence for Mick Cronin and Musselman just for the difficult season that
they've
had?
Well, it's not Mick's fault. It's his players and assistant coach's fault.
Yeah, Mick hasn't done anything.
Mick hasn't done anything
wrong.
No,
he's never done anything wrong.
No.
It's the travel and the players and the coaches.
They need to match his energy level.
It's not him in his Stuart Little suit.
If USC and UCLA pivot out and the Big Ten says, hey, do you want to be a member? And they think about it and they go, no, actually, I think we're going to pass. Even though the Big Ten makes 80, what is the Pac-12 deal if they stick, given the success the conference ended up
LA
having?
LA in football? It's
probably slightly ahead of the Big 12. What are the Big 12?
Only slightly?
Ahead?
You don't think we get to the 45-50 million range?
No, you're in the 25-30.
Really? Even with USC and UCLA staying and we have the Caleb Williams
Heisman
season?
When was the last time USC was relevant in football? I mean, they had
Caleb Williams season, they were in the Pac-12 title game.
In the last 2 years, they've won 13 games combined.
But that was the year of the media rights.
Yeah, and the 10 years before that, what did USC
do? That's not how media rights work. They're buying your futures.
So you're going to buy 1 year and give you $50 million a school because of one season?
I'm not saying you're wrong on the amount, but
there's no chance we get $50 million if they stay.
Okay.
Zero chance.
All right.
I would have loved to have had $50 million
a year. I don't think
a
media company goes, oh, what were you 8 years ago? I think they go, you have the Heisman and you're in the conference championship and you're in LA and you're USC. Yeah, we can get behind that.
I think it's a 10-year deal and they're saying, are we guaranteed you're going to do that for the next 9 years?
Yeah, I don't know if they're all 10 anymore. What is the Big Ten deal? How long is that going?
The Big Ten deal is like a 12-year deal, a 10-year deal.
Oof.
It's a long one.
Oof.
It's a long one, Bob. So UCLA is complaining. USC is complaining. This is what they asked for. Travel's tough. We found somebody who should be in March Madness.
7 years, by the way.
7-year deal. Nearly a decade. Yeah. We found somebody who should be in March Madness. We'll start the final hour there. Also, what is this team doing? And we'll get to the mail sack. Coming up at 8:15. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections. But you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Alma said is
a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.